Yes.
I really anticipate this being very short tonight. I just have a thought that I want to share, and you may have some things that you'd like to say about this as well. But I'm going to begin this with a question. I want you to think about this. How many people, and this is the question, how many people do I know or am I acquainted with that I have never invited to my church? Everybody, all of us, let's just think about that question. How many people do we know that we have never tried to get them to come with us to the house of the Lord? And if we look at Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 15, Luke 14, beginning with the 15th verse, it says, "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, Go out quickly into the street, bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done, as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, I want to say make a few comments here in the beginning that I know that generally when we hear this verse used about how that we are told by Jesus to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in. You know, oftentimes we hear this verse used in reference to us, you know, being busy and inviting people to come. There really is, it really means more than that, what Jesus was talking about here. I believe he was, you know, speaking here about the rejection of the Jews and how that the Gentiles were brought in, but there's some things here that I think we can look at in a general sense. I believe there is a teaching here that we can look at in that way. My mother has told me before, actually many times throughout the years of my life, she has told me about where she grew up and living back in the country and what it was like in the little community that she lived in, when the churches, they were all just relatively small country churches. And she has told me time and time again about how that if there was a revival meeting going on, that would really be the only place in that little community that evening where people were meeting together and where there was any type of interaction and fellowship going on. And so, people went to church a lot of times because they didn't have distractions like people have today. And there's not very many places. Bowling Green certainly isn't like that, is it? The times that we are meeting here, well, there's all types of stuff going on in these in this city, even a city the size of this. And so, there was a time when people were not dealing with sports bars and things of that nature, where people have a tendency to go and spend their time. But still, people need to be exposed to the gospel, and the work of the church. Whenever things change in our society, even though we may have disadvantages that people of the past didn't have, the work of the church never changes. We've still got the same commission. A church is under the same commission, whether it's in a little backwoods community or whether it's located in a big city or in a relatively small town. And so, we have something wonderful. We really do. We have something wonderful here. And I was thinking about how that when Jesus was talking here about them being told to go out into the streets and to bring in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind, one thing that we should never do with the gospel is we should never be a respecter of persons with the gospel. There are people in the world that we don't approve of their lifestyle. Society. Our society's changing rapidly, isn't it? Now into the stores, and when you're out in public, people in a lot of ways don't even look the same as they did not too many years ago. It's hard. My wife and I were talking the other day, it's getting harder and harder when you're in public to find people that haven't marked their bodies all up with ink and just put metal in their face. I mean, it seems that you begin to see more people like that than what you don't. And so, things are changing. But everybody needs the gospel. Everybody. And so, we can't be a respecter of persons when it comes to that. And then he mentioned here that the servants said to their Lord that after they had done this, after they had gone out and brought in the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind, that they said, there's still room. And you know, if we think about this in the way of a structure, if we think about this in the way of the place that we have to come to and to meet, you know, we always have empty seats. I mean, we always have room for more people to be here and for more people to hear the gospel, for more people to hear about Jesus. But, you know, in most cases, it requires some effort in order to see that happen. And, you know, you're not going to find in many places, if any place, you're not going to find where a church meets and they, you know, they have a house of worship, they have a building, and they have a sign out front that tells what time their services are, you know, from week to week. You know, you're not going to generally find any place where people are just going to walk in and fill it up. It usually requires some effort to do that. And I think that sometimes, you know, we may wonder, well, how do you do this? How do you, you know, where do you start? How do you persuade people? And, you know, I'm confident that we have somebody with us that will help us. You know, when we try to do the things that he has told us and try to do his work, that he will help us. And I remember one time when I was pastoring at Fellowship Church, that one of the sisters of that church came to me one day, and she was really distraught about someone that she worked with. And she said, I have worked with this person for years. And she said, I have invited her to church over and over and over and over, and she's never come. You know, she's never been willing to accept my invitation, and she's never come, and there's just nothing else I can do. And I said, but there is. You know, you can tell her about the Lord Jesus Christ right there where she's at. And, you know, I think there are people that you may never persuade. There are some people, I think, that the Lord has to get a hold of them and maybe even save them before they might be willing to come to church, to a church. But I believe that some will. There are people in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and in America, and in the world today, there are people that know that there's a void somehow in them. There's a void somehow in their life, and they don't even really understand what it is. I mean, we live in a world where you're all the time hearing about somebody that's got you know, depression or just great anxiety, and there are things in their life that are just not right, and they're lonely in you know, in their heart they're lonely, and there's a void, and the Lord can fill that up. I do believe there are people that are acting, but the problem is they look too often in the wrong places and at the wrong things. People try to fill that up with drugs or alcohol or something like that, and that just, that doesn't work. It doesn't satisfy. But, you know, we have something great. Now, I think that it's, you know, if we're honest, I think it's easy for us, for all of us, to try to persuade somebody or invite somebody to come to some worldly type event with us. Why people wouldn't hesitate to go and invite their friend to the Hot Rods game or the game at WKU or something like that. But we can be a little bit timid about trying to persuade somebody to come to the house of God with us. And I think that maybe a lot of the times that we can be like that is because the devil, you know, tries to fight us and tries to, you know, keep us from doing that. He doesn't really care if you take somebody to the Hot Rods game, but he doesn't want you to try to persuade somebody to come to church with you. And so, you know, that was just my thought, that maybe all of us can, you know, try to work harder. And I appreciate all the visitors that we have. You know, I mean, every time that we have somebody visit our service, I appreciate that, but there's room for more. There's room for more to come in here. And I really believe that the house that the Lord was talking about being filled is even greater than a church building. God's got a great big house in heaven where he wants as many people as will believe on him to go, and he's got room. You know, he's got room there. In his house are many mansions, and he's got room for as many people that will repent of their sins and trust in him. The Lord has room for them there. But, I mean, we have the greatest. There's nothing, you know, we can't share anything with anybody any greater than the gospel. And we have, you know, we have an experience that we've had that we can share with them. I mean, we can tell people what the Lord has done for us and that he can do the same thing for them. And so we have all the tools to be effective witnesses. The Holy Spirit is with us and is our helper. And we have all that we need, and you know, sometimes it's just a matter of putting it to the task and going to work. And I like what the Lord said here. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Now, I'll give you an example of what I don't think compel is. I don't think compel is, I was hoping you'd come to church with me. No, I'm not interested. Oh, well, I didn't think you would be. That's not compelling. You know, the Lord was saying here to try to persuade them. Try to persuade them to come. We need to try to be soul winners, don't we? There's a lot of people. You know, in Bowling Green, Kentucky, there's a lot of people that are unchurched. There's a lot of people that don't go anywhere. There's a lot of people when the Lord's Day rolls around, they don't go anywhere. They're unchurched. And some of them might be living next door to us. And that's, you know, that's why I wanted us to just ponder that question. How many people do I know? How many people maybe have, I know several of you here have already retired, but those of you who are still in the workforce, how many people do you know that you work with from day to day? You talk to them maybe every day that you've never tried to persuade to come to your church. Never the opportunity. That was my thought from that we go out and we compel them to come in and fill the house of the Lord. Does anybody have anything on your heart tonight? Well, I thank you for listening. I hope that you'll consider this question. Just remember, our service is Sunday.
Thank you.